Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another edition of GSP. I'm your host, and we are a great show. I don't know why, but here are mission. Lift up, train up, speak up. We lift up, train up, and the way are
train up.
Let me start off. Hi, and welcome to GSP. We've got a great show. Try to cram this 30-minute for a month. GFC today, and speak up on Twitter. From a Christian perspective, today on the show, we have three responses to accusers. We have some family, and we have also Thursday. The question that I have is, President Obama's early this President Obama for or against religious freedom? Now, I want to offer up a bias for what I want to do. So, as is customary, our new tradition here at GSPK, you get into the Word of God. Father, life, everything that gets completed. We thank you today. We pray that we open up our spiritual eyes and our hearts and our ears to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. We're actually going to do a three-part series on this. Now, three responses to accusers. And what? BlogTalkRadio.com is where we're at. GFC Today, your host, MJ Jones. So let's get right into it. Three ways to respond to accusers. You know, for me, I wish that I would. Have you ever just say something? Or do there are. That's why I tell people when you repent, you know, we talk about repentance. Repent, turn away from sin. You know, they say, well, how often should I repent? I repent every minute. That's how I feel about it. Some people repent in the morning, some people repent at night. And they ask forgiveness. I repent by the minute. I am constantly saying, Father, please forgive me. Please have mercy on me. I repent of that. And I keep turning. And then that's the key. There's times in my job that I've been accused of something that I haven't done or that I should have done better or something that of that nature that I should have done this, should have done that. I didn't do something right. Sometimes it's not even my fault. You know, you ever had that happen before? I know I have, there's been times where I have not responded the way I should have. But what I want to get to, if you want to turn with me to Luke 23, we're going to look at the first way to respond to an accuser, Luke chapter 23. Okay, and I was just going on here is that we are actually. Looking at the trials of Jesus, and we're going to kind of jump around from Luke to John. We won't go through. We'll get to the first point today, and then we'll hop around tomorrow, and then maybe Saturday we'll get into it, and we'll see how how do you handle accusations, whether they be true or false? So Luke 23, we can just start right at the top. And I've got a KJV, King Version / NLT, but whatever Bible you have, no, it doesn't matter what translation you use, as long as the Bible's open and it's being read, that's all that matters. Can I get an amen? Luke 23 verse 1 starts out like this. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself, the Christ, is king." And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king?" And he answered them and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and then the people, "I find no." I want to go back and I want to read 3 and 4 again, and then I want to just show you what I get out of this verse. And Pilate, so you basically have people accusing him of being insurrectionist. And you have, we know who those people are, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the political leaders. They really were political leaders. So don't let anyone tell you that Christians aren't supposed to be involved in politics, because Jesus dealt with, on a daily basis, Pharisees, Sadducees. They were political leaders as well as leaders in the church. And as far as Pilate's concerned, he also was a political leader. So Jesus was very involved in that. Don't let anyone tell you that he wasn't. "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." Now, I'm going to read this in the NLT. But Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "You have said it." I've learned that sometimes whenever you're being accused of doing something or accused of being some way, sometimes, and this is the first point I'll go ahead and make, sometimes all you need is a short answer. Answer with a short answer. Sweet. And really, in this verse, you almost see a little bit of sarcasm out of you. There's like a little bit of sarcasm. I could imagine, you know, they're just bringing Jesus in, handcuffed and everything, and really wanting Pilate to just crucify him. To just get home. And Pilate asked him, like, the king of the Jews, and he's like, "Whatever you say." You know, sometimes, you know, for example, somebody says, you know, you're a fake Christian, or you're a bad parent, or you're, for no reason, something like that, or you're not doing right, you're not doing good, you're not doing that right, or you should have done that better. Sometimes all you have to have is a short answer, and it doesn't have to be sarcastic, it doesn't have to be mean-spirited or anything. Sometimes all you have, you know what? Sometimes all you have, "You're right. You said it." Or just say, "Right on," or something of that nature. We don't have to turn this into a brawl just yet. But I got 2 more points that I'm going to say for tomorrow, and I'll get into those. So think about this. Next time somebody points a finger at you and just, you know, sometimes the next time accuses you of something, sometimes you're right. But you can tell the way Pilate asked him. I mean, if you can imagine, put yourself in that position and in that time frame, what's going on? Pilate is asking him out of a blasphemous way. Like, are you the king of Jesus? You know, whatever, dude. You know, what are you? You know, and Jesus says, in other words, sometimes you just have to let people believe. Sometimes you have to let people believe the lie that they're saying, because sometimes you just have to push it back on them. Say, "You said." That's the first point I wanted to make. And we'll just stop right there. Sometimes when you're being accused of something that you didn't do wrong, or did wrong, or didn't do wrong, sometimes all you have to do is get a short answer. Sometimes all you have to do is what you say. You know what? You're sick. You said it. You're right. You're right. Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. Something like that. Verse 4, I love verse 4, though. We'll end with this. Pilate turned to the leading priest and said, "I find nothing wrong with this man." What? Pilate just like, "Oh, well, yep, nothing to see here, you know. Oh, yeah. behaving kind of like some politicians in the Senate and in the House and in the executive branch. I just see them caving. I see people just caving all over our political system. It's just like, I'm not going to mention any names, Mitch McConnell or John Boehner. I won't mention names. But that just kind of, just because there's a response, they just turn to the crowd and say, oh, there's nothing to fear. Oh, you know, we can't win. They might as well just give up. They said we can't. They have to give up. That's what I see pilots kind of do. I see that a lot. I'm so sorry. I'm still learning how to do this blog talk stuff. So, by the way, this is GFC today. GFC stands for God, Family, Country, or those to lift up, train up, and speak up. Lift up the name of Jesus, train up our family godliness, and speak up on current issues from a Christian perspective. This is Blog Talk Radio. We thank you for listening. Let's move on to our second segment of the show. I promise I'm going to have this a lot more professional sounding before, like, before too long. So, all right. So let's move on to this portion of our show. And we're moving on to... Let me tell you what's going on right now, my family. I have a lovely wife of 6 years. I have three kids, a 16-year-old, 5-year-old, and 3-year-old. The 16-year-old is my son. And I have a 5-year-old and 3-year-old daughters. So we just have the craziest family. It's the most fun family you'd ever meet. You want to hang out with. Trust me, you want to hang out with. And so where we live in Victoria is about 60,000 people. Probably a little more than that ever since the oil. But we went to our airport, our recent airport. It's pretty good sized airport. We get a lot of traffic from Houston, Dallas. But we went to an airport show, and it was basically a family fun day at our recent airport. I got to tell you, it was amazing. I was so excited. It was free. They had airplanes on display that the kids could get in and step from those. They even had a little band playing, which was great, by the way. I actually knew the guy that was playing drums. It was more like a bluegrass setup. He was playing the Russian music. And he was singing, and he was great.
Oh, excuse me. It's late.
I'm so sorry about that. Excuse me. Anyway.
There was a band playing.
It was great. As well as the drummer himself. And it was just awesome. We had a great time. It was just amazing. The Coast Guard even had a display. They had a, what do you call it, demonstration. That's what I'm thinking of. And an amazing demonstration. They came in and they performed a water rescue or a extraction, I guess you call it. I used to work in EMS, and we know a little bit about extraction, rapid extraction and things like that. And so they did one with it. It was phenomenal. It was awesome. I think I had more fun with kids.
I honestly think.
And so anyway, that was amazing. I wanted to just talk about that. I really wish they would do more things like that. We need more free things but I know it costs money to do all that stuff. We need more free family fun things to do. What I wanted to talk about was, I wanted to talk to husband, actually. My charge to the husbands right now is to be Mr. Mom for a while. Men, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to be Mr. Mom for a little while. I want to tell you what I did. I want to tell you what's going on. So last week, my wife does a lot of the financial and a lot of the bookkeeping, I guess you could say, for the house. She does a lot of that stuff. She's so amazing. She does so much good. I probably don't even know a lot of what she does, you know, because I don't see it, just because it goes unnoticed by me. I confess.
Right along the
in, well, not in front, but you know. Anyway, so Mr. Mom, that's what I want to stress in this portion of the family segment of our mom. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what's going on. My wife usually does the menu for the house, what we're gonna buy from the grocery store and eat for lunch and dinner and all that sort of thing. And so for a long time, really, she's been planning the menu.
I'm sorry, it's late.
I know, I need to go to bed. She plans the menu. She does the grocery shopping and all that. And so, and she'll do this to me with the budget too. And she'll go, "Hey, look at the budget. Let's start talking about the budget. Talk about the menu. Man, just do whatever. Just buy whatever." "All right, well, just buy whatever. That's good. Just do whatever. I'm cool with whatever. I'll eat anything. I don't care." And a lot of the times, guys, we just kind of, that's our attitude. It's like, "Oh, I'm good. I can, I don't care." But I think we miss the point sometimes, that when our wives ask us to look at the budget or look at the menu, they want to interact with us. And so I finally said, yeah, she said, she'll give me grief sometimes. I do the budget all by myself, and I figure it out. And it's a lot of work, and I do the grocery list, and I do the shopping, and it's a lot of work. And so, last time, I swear, last time I'm gonna yawn, I swear. And so, out of spite, what I told her last week was, "You know what? I will make the menu, and I'll go grocery. I'll make the menu, and you can go shopping and get food. How about that? I'll come up with the menu." She said, "Great." I said, "You know what? Actually, in fact, oh no," she said, "was, why don't you go ahead and grocery shop too?" I was like, "What did I walk into?" Well, I stepped in bed. I stepped in it. It's stanky. But I thought about it out of spite. I kind of, you know, I'll make the menu. I don't care. It's not that hard. But I think God kind of worked on me. He actually said, "You know what? Not only do I want you to make the menu, I want you to go shopping, and I want you to cook all week, all week." I think, I mean, I didn't hear anything in my spirit necessarily, but I felt the unction just to kind of go with that. So here's what I did. I came up with the menu, lunch, breakfast, lunch, dinner, for 7 days. I get paid weekly, so that's how we do our budget. I did a menu. I wrote a menu for 7 days, and I went in a grocery shop by myself. I didn't go by myself. I think I took kids. I don't know. Yeah, they went with me. Somebody went with me. I don't know. And I went and did that. Got the groceries. I've been cooking all week. Let me tell you, it's a lot of work, but it was very rewarding because I like to cook. I don't know about you, but I really do. So we did. I did some stir fry on Monday night. I did some. I made enchiladas on Tuesday night. Wednesday, we did spaghetti. It's church night, so we had to do something kind of fast. But that being said, it's a lot of work. It really is. And so it's been very rewarding, though. My wife is very grateful. She's been bragging about it along with friends. And, you know, it's a lot of work. Thank you, Sophia, your mom, because that is one point. That's one facet of motherhood and really wife dumb, not dumb like D-U-M-B, dumb like D-O-M, like dominion, wife dominion, the dominion of the wife in the house. That is one aspect that we really kind of take advantage of. You know, we need to not be afraid to step up and be Mr. Mom for a little while. And we'll talk about some more aspects of being Mr. Mom and really just kind of taking some of the load off. You know, I always say that if God created Eve as a helpmeet for Adam, as a helper for Adam, then that means Adam must have been doing a lot of work, because I used to work in construction. And when you have a helper, the helper is usually just kind of handing tools to the mechanic or whoever's the journeyman. The journeyman's doing a lot of the work, and the helper is just kind of helping pass stuff through. So I think as men, we got it backwards. We're not supposed to just work and go to work and that's it, and shut down and clock out. We're actually supposed to be doing a lot of the work around the house as well. I mean, I understand that mothers are more geared to rearing children, and they are. They very much are. They're wired to rear children, But at the same time, guys, we got to step up, man. We can do it because God's gifted us to do that. He's wired us to work. We're wired to work, if you know what I mean. So we're also wired to desire, but we'll get into that another day, another time, another place. Be Mr. Mom for a little while. Don't be afraid. Help out. Ask your wife, what can you take over for a week? I challenge you. If you're listening to this, your husband, I challenge you. Take over one of your wife's duties for a week and let her know how grateful you are. Awesome. Oh, guys, you guys are awesome. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. I know you will. And I will make it through this week. I know I will. You're listening to GFC Today on Blog Talk Radio, GFC, God, Family, Country, Lift Up, Jesus. We train up our family in the way they shall go, and we speak up on current issues. Current issues now. Current issues. Where should we go with this? There's a lot of places we can go, but here's one thing that I just want to talk about. You know, I've told people I'm not necessarily Republican, but I am conservative, and I believe in conservative principles. I didn't used to be like that. 6 years ago, before I was not a conservative. I was very liberal. So I believed wholeheartedly that in conservative principles, I believe in Christian principles. No, I don't want a theocracy because that would corrupt both church and state, and we don't want that. None of us want that. We don't want to live in a theocracy, but we do want to admonish and exhort the principles that this country is founded on. That's what we want. We want those principles to not go away because they work. And if there's anything I can tell you about my past before Christ, B.C., when I was not saved, I'll say B.C., before Christ, is that it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Liberal principles do not work. They destroy. I'm sorry. I know it sounds harsh, but that's just how I feel about it. That's how I feel about it. So anyway, what I want to talk about is, I want to talk about this quote or this speech from President Obama. And it just really kind of, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the Kim Davis situation. Anything say what you want. But you know what? I do think she's a hero. I really do. I really do. I think she is. I think she did. She didn't do anything wrong. She followed the Constitution. The Kentucky Constitution says that the state recognizes marriages between man and woman. That's their constitution. Thing is, she was following the law, the state law, and the federal judge had no jurisdiction over that law because a federal judge is only supposed to. The problem is people don't understand what the federal government is supposed to be doing. They don't understand Bill of Rights. This whole thing was written. These amendments were written to restrain the federal government and not restrain the people. Hello? Yeah? That's what I said. So anyway, the thing with Kim Davis, you know, I think you know about it. She was arrested and sent to jail for denying a marriage license to a homosexual couple that requested one. The funny part about it is there was the fifth or sixth in a recent interview with Megyn Kelly that she had, that this same couple had been in this the county clerk's office. This was like their fifth or sixth time they had been requesting marriage license. And she was not issuing marriage licenses at all to anybody, to be fair. And so she was, for her Christian, standing up for her Christian beliefs and the Kentucky Constitution, she was thrown in jail for 6 days. So didn't hear any comments from President Obama, by the way, about that. However, when the Pope comes, let me read the quote, and I'm just going to copy. Obama said, stand with you. Obama said that we, the U.S., quote, stand with you in defense of religious freedom and interfaith dialogue, knowing that people everywhere must be able to live out their faith free from fear and intimidation. Close quote. This is from theguardian.com. I'll just read this. The comments were made against the backdrop of not only rising religious persecution across the globe, but also increasing tensions between Christian bodies in the U.S. and the Obama administration. Faith groups are demanding the right to adhere to religious belief in the workplace, even contradiction of the law, which, again, Kim Davis was not in violation of any state law. And the federal judge had no rights in the matter because we are told in the Constitutional Amendment that this federal judge, this matter was a state matter in between within the state. If this would have been from in between, it would have been between two states, the federal judge could have intervened. But he had no jurisdiction to intervene. This couple was from, this homosexual couple was from actually San Francisco. They came all the way from San Francisco, if I read correctly. The point of the matter is that we haven't heard anything from President Obama commenting on Kim Davis. We haven't heard anything about that from commenting on Kim Davis, yet he stands in defense of religious belief. I just don't see it. I don't see it. It's kind of like when the Pope came into town. Now Obama's all of a sudden like he's like the sixth grade boy in sixth grade in adoration of the eighth grade girl that everybody loves. And if she says hi to him, and he just goes, he's like, that's what we got going on. We got a sixth grade boy with a crush on an eighth grade girl. That's what that is, basically, when the Pope coming to town. And so I didn't get to comment as much as I'd like to, but I just, man, you gotta go listen to this. Go listen to this quote. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. I don't see it out of this president. I don't see him supporting religious liberty. So, to say about that. I know. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Thank you for listening today to GFC. GFC Today, thank you for listening. Can't tell you how much I appreciate you. Remember, as Christians, there's a reason we have armor in the Word of God. So keep fighting, keep standing, lift up, train up, speak up. GFC Today, I'm MG Jr. Thanks for listening.